Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Here it comes. Oh my goodness.
Hello and welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast. My name is Andy Hayes and with me is Ty Libby and Jansen Mizurek.
Hey Andy, there's a foot of snow on the ground outside.
Ty, you're always just on point with what day it is, with just everything. Thank you for the observation.
Got to look around every once in a while.
It's basically a snow day. There's ice. It's not just snow out there.
It's nasty.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Chicago weather.
Merry Christmas.
Someone who's been somewhere with nicer weather, however, yes, is Jansen Mizurek. What's up, Coach Jansen?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
And Jansen just got back from our trip with our M360 program to Arizona. Yeah. That's about all I know. We're going to hopefully do another podcast talking about the trip, but we need some students who are actually there. It wouldn't be that interesting with just you because you didn't even play golf there.
No, I didn't. And I think the kids would have a lot more. I think it'd be fun for them to come on and share their experience on the trip. And I've been on the podcast enough to, you're probably tired of hearing my voice, but
yeah, I'm tired. I'm sick. I'm like, why are we even here right now? But
well, it's your idea. So,
All right. So one of the things that I saw that you did on the trip is you went to the Cool Clubs headquarters. I have a lot of thoughts about club fitting and Cool Clubs. Mostly are unsubstantiated rumors. I know very little about it other than from my own experience. So Jansen, let's just talk about Cool Clubs. What, like, say more about what you did and where you went and what it was like.
Yeah, so really my knowledge of club fitting is very slim until a couple days ago. So the last day of our trip, we were all checked out of our house that we were renting, and we had some time to kill before we had to get to the airport. And so Chris reached out to Cool Clubs, who we work closely with up here, with a club fitter up in the Chicagoland area, and their headquarters of Cool Clubs is down there in Phoenix. So we reached out, and they were like, yeah, come on by. We'll give you a tour. So we took all the kids to go see what that whole process looks like. Actually, one of our students on the trip was getting fit as we were taking a tour, so that was cool. And some of the kids had been fit in the past, including Chris and Rob, the other coaches. So it was cool to just see that whole side of it, like what all the details are that go into it, the facility that behind it, and how big of an operation that Cool Clubs is operating on, and just learn more in depth of, you know, what's the importance of club fitting and who should do it and why.
And so this was not just that's not just any Cool Clubs that you were at. This is like the Cool Clubs.
This was the world headquarters.
So what's the difference between the world headquarters and another Cool Clubs?
Well, some Cool Clubs are just outdoor facilities where they just kind of operate out of like a big trailer, like a tour truck kind of thing. And then some are just kind of standalone facilities, or they rent out like a space to where it's just like a simulator or a small room. This facility, however, was in a warehouse area where they've rented out a large portions, and some of them aren't even connected, but they're just throughout this warehouse space. And I don't know the square footage of it, but anyways, it's their headquarters, so that's why it's the biggest. So they can have four people at once getting fit all in one room with four different simulators, and then they have all of the manufacturing going on there. So no matter what the location is that you get fit for your clubs, the club fitter sends in the information of the set that you've built or you've been fit for, and it gets built from start to finish there in Phoenix, and they get shipped out across the world or across the country. So they have a massive workshop where they do that and put everything together. And so regardless if you got fit here in Chicago or in their location in Japan, the clubs are going to be built in Phoenix and get shipped out from there, which was really cool. So they have some really big shipments that go out every week or weekly to Australia, and then they have a location in Japan and a few in Korea, and then a few over in Europe and one in Mexico City, I believe, and then, of course, all across the United States. So, yeah, so it was really big.
So take us through the tour.
Yeah, so the tour, so we walked in, and it was really just like a bunch of golf clubs everywhere. And when we walked in, they had immediately like one of the putting fitting stations kind of right front and center. And then around that were four TrackMan bays where they have like TrackMan so that you can do the full swing club fitting. Directly behind that is where they start the manufacturing process. And really what that one was the custom shop. So if you have something that you want to get stamped, like your initials in the back of a wedge, or you want to paint your putter a different color or whatever, that was the custom shop right back there. So you could like come in any day and say like, hey, Andy just got a new putter. Like, I want to paint it purple, and they'd paint it for you right there.
I'd run out of money because I get a new putter like every week. I know. So probably good we don't live within driving distance. Well, so
if you customize cool one that you like it so much, maybe you keep it longer.
I don't know. We'll see.
From there, we kind of bobbed and weaved further in the back of the facility, and we saw more of like their inventory where they were unpacking like all the new 2019 clubs. So we saw like literally 100 Epic Flash driver heads like just laying on a table. They were like still in the Saran wrap, and they were like changing out the heads or the adapters on the shafts for their fitters to put on. So and then there was a bunch of the M5 and M6 stuff just laying out, which was really cool. So
you've mentioned the M5 and M6, the Epic Flash. Those are Callaway products and TaylorMade products. Does Cool Clubs work with one specific company? Or?
Great question. So they work with a lot of different companies. The main ones they work with are Callaway, TaylorMade. They work with Strixon. PXG is a big one that they work with. Titleist. And then there's a few others that I can't name right off the top of my head, but those are the big ones.
So they like specifically have partnerships with certain companies over and not with others?
I think from my understanding, yes. Those are the ones that they partner with the most. Oh, Ping's another one.
You've listed every major company.
Yeah, Mira. Exists. They do Mira.
So they just have everything.
About everything you could want. And if you don't, then you could probably buy it and then bring it to them and then just get the shafts put in. They could do that.
Yeah, because my question was like, if they partner especially with Callaway, they'll just fit everyone into a Callaway club look, it's better for you. But
that's another thing. They don't push you towards any brand. They don't push you towards any brands because they literally carry just about everything, which is cool. Going back to like kind of the rest of the facility, then we went into where the actual club fitters and like the people building the clubs and the sets work. And so they have like this, like we had to wear ear protection and eye gear because they have like this massive fan going on in there because it smells like epoxy and solvent and stuff. And they're like trimming, you know, metals and stuff. So there's a bunch of noise going on. And so they, building a set takes anywhere from about 3 to 4 hours, depending on what all is being done. And so you can see these fitters building these sets, and then they'll kind of put it to the side as like maybe the epoxy dries or the grips are getting ready or prepped, and then they'll work on another set. But it was really cool. Every set that's built stays with one builder from start to finish. So no two people work on the same set. So one person builds it from start to finish so that like no mistakes are made really. Which is really cool. And then it goes through one guy on the exit, and he does all the final loft lie checks, and then he puts them in the boxes, and they get shipped out. So it's a big operation, but at the same time, it has a very like homey kind of personal touch because one builder is making it all, and he's making sure that it's perfect, which is cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So did you learn anything specifically about the fitting process, or you know, what do they talk about other than just showing you around the tour?
Yeah, so, you know, they tell us, like, what an actual fitting kind of looks like. So they typically take about an hour and a half just for an iron set fitting. If you're going to go through the full bag, it takes about anywhere from 3 to 4.5 hours to fit an entire bag. They take, like, an hour alone just to fit you for your putter, and, like, an hour alone for just your drivers and woods, which seems like a lot, but they're looking at a lot of numbers. And they're also looking at all the equipment that you currently play, and getting all the numbers on that so they can compare it to show you, you know, the best, hey, this is what you're changing or what's actually going on. And so they're like, hey, some people can do that four and a half hours in a row, or some days some people split it up. So, you know, just understanding how much data they're collecting on the clubs that you actually use right now, and then starting to put those combinations to find the right fit for you. I was kind of blown away at the time that it takes. But they're very meticulous. The actual fitting process, I guess, too, also that I learned is they look at a lot of things in the shaft that, like, I didn't really ever recognize. So one of the guys, what he was stressing was, like, two things that you hear a lot don't actually matter, and that's swing weight and the shaft flex. And so swing weight is, like, how the weight is distributed throughout the club, and he says that doesn't really matter as long as the shaft is properly in the proper frequency, and that the club head is, like, in proper lie and loft lie things. And I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but he was just basically saying that swing weight doesn't matter if the club is fit to you, which I thought was kind of cool, because a lot of people get kind of hung up on that, especially when they're putting grips on. Like, grips don't affect swing weight was basically what he was saying. So that was kind of cool. And then that was, like, a myth kind of busted. And then the second one was, like, don't ever pay attention to shaft flex. So, like, you can go into, like, Golf Galaxy or the PGA Superstore, and you'll see, like, a shaft that says stiff or extra stiff or, like, ladies flex or, like, senior flex, whatever. And he says, like, the companies, when they mass produce a shaft, there's a lot of inconsistency with it. So it can range anywhere from it's a scaling that they use, but, like, it's not consistent. So what really matters is the frequency of the shaft. And the frequency is, they put it in a machine and they wiggle the end of it so it, like, oscillates. And so it measures how many times the shaft is oscillating within a minute. And based on that, that's the frequency of the club. So I wrote it down. It says the higher the frequency, the stiffer the flex is, and the lower the frequency, the less stiff or the more, like wobbly the shaft is. So based on that frequency number, that's the stiffness, quote unquote, that your shaft is.
So do they, like, show you this wiggler?
Yeah, so they put the button.
Is that what it's called,
there.
The wiggler?
No, I don't know what it's called. It's a frequency machine. Okay. I don't know.
Frequency machine. Yeah, maybe
sounds better than the wiggler.
The wiggler. It's kind of weird.
All right.
So they put it in, and then they go like that, and then it, like, beeps when it reads it, and it tells you what the frequency is. And so, like, when they're building sets, your driver might technically say that it's a stiff flex, but it's really, like, not. And then so you might have, like, 3 or 4 different, like, shaft flexes throughout your set, but really it's consistency all the way through because of the frequencies, and they've measured all that out.
That's cool.
So
do they have their own data they use?
They do. And they get that from a machine called the S3 machine that they showed us. And there's only 3 of them in the world. Which was really cool.
What's the S3 machine?
So the S3 machine is a machine that they developed to be able to test shafts. And it's this machine that it's probably the size of this table here. And you put the shaft on it, and it has a camera above it, and it just starts rotating the shaft and taking pictures of it to, like, find the spine and the material that it's made out of. So, like, they were saying, like, if a shaft's bowed like this, like, if you look at it from straight up, it looks straight. But once it rotates, you can see the bow. So this camera takes pictures of it from every angle to make sure that it's, like, in the right condition. And then it starts, this robot just starts moving and bending the shaft to, like, test the tension of it and the flex of it. So it, like, puts, like, 4 pounds of pressure on it, and then it starts, like, flicking it, so it, like, starts the wobbling around again or whatever. So it's just moving around, and it's capturing all this data, and then they put that into a database, and they have, like, this massive database of, like, all right, this company produced this shaft, and this is, like, the consistency we see with it.
It's awesome.
It's unbelievable. It's really cool.
So if you're going in for a fitting, how many shots are you taking for them?
That's a really good question. They say that they take about 3 to 5 of like good shots with each club. So you might hit like
10. 100 for me. Yeah,
you might hit 100 and take like your best.
You're
three.
Gonna need to book 2 days. I think. 4.5
your
hours.
Your fitting might take might 9 hours. So yeah,
yeah, that's like that's five good shots per club or per iron or
yeah, in the initial part where they're probably like getting I would say 3 to 5. Five good ones so that they have a good sample data. But they want good shots so that it's the best.
And what kind of things are they looking for?
They're looking for spin rates. They're looking for launch angles. Landing angle was a big one that they mentioned. And then carry distance was probably the most important one. They don't really care about how far the ball rolls out, but it's more of the landing angle. Excuse me, the landing angle and how far it carried are the main things they're looking at.
So I've like over the past, I don't know, year had like 4 different iron sets. You know, for enough amount of time that I feel like I know what they are. You know, I've like been comfortable playing with them. I have an extra stiff Project X 6.5. I've had like the Project X 6.5 LZ. I've had C tapers from KBS. I've had like the S300 AMTs, and like all those are different shafts. My carry distance is about the same in all of them. Did they say anything about like what actually makes the difference?
No, we probably didn't ask like the right questions to kind of get that answer because like we weren't getting fit actually. So I don't know if I could answer that the best, but you know, there's a bunch of different options that they give you. So like when you get fit by them, they give you, you know, the most expensive shaft that's like similar to what you need doesn't mean it's the best fit for you.
Yeah.
And they're not going to push that, but they're going to give it to you as an option. And then really it's just kind of personal preference of like what it feels like, especially when it comes to like choosing the club head. But like a variety of shafts, it'd be interesting to like do more research on like what those specifically are and like see if they have things in common with one another.
Yeah.
But they were never ever fit for you, right? Like personally
no.
fit.
Yeah, no, I didn't go to cool clubs.
Yeah.
I've just tried, I mean, I have tried at like the stores, I've compared different shafts and how they feel and I have preferences. And but it's like between stiff and extra stiff, it doesn't really make that much difference for me. So I just want, but, I mean, it's expensive to do all this stuff.
Yeah, the thing with like what you just said though is like, oh, a stiff and an extra stiff doesn't really make much of a difference to me. Well, that's correct because there isn't really a difference. Like there isn't like the extra stiff that you hit and the stiff that you hit could have actually been like the identical shaft. Yeah. But it's you
even from the same manufacturer?
Exactly. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, it's because they're mass producing them. And so their standards are different, but Cool Club standards are better.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. More specific. Yeah. So you have to ignore that label.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you knew the frequency of it, then that would be more powerful information.
We're going to build our own S3 machine.
So I don't even want to know how much that thing costs.
So when you came back yesterday, you told me you're like, I need to get fit ASAP. What was like the biggest things in making you think that?
Well, my irons are just old and outdated, so I know that the lies and the loft, well, I think my lies are fine, but the lofts are just not as souped up as they could be, so that's just like distance that I'm losing. And then I know that, you know, my swing, when I got those irons that I'm playing with right now, my swing was completely different. And so now I know that I could get something that's more tailored to my swing that's in a better spot now. And I think that that's going to help me hit better golf shots and hit it further so that I can hopefully compete.
But you would have told me all this before you went to the tour anyway. Or you know what I mean, went on the tour of cool clubs. So like what was it, was there anything specific in the tour that was like, oh, I gotta actually go do this?
Yeah, I mean, I've been wanting to get fit for like a couple months now, and just seeing, I guess I just, why I've been holding back on it was like, well, why spend the money on it? Like,
yeah,
you know, they're just going to tell me, oh, hit this or, you know, get this. But the detail that they showed with how they build it, the data they collect, how much they care about building it, like just the culture there was like really, really cool. And I don't know if I can really describe it. It was just like the culture that they have there, how much they care about building it and making it perfect for you was like, wow. Like they don't skip a step. One of the guys in his office, he had a poster that said, don't guess. What did it say? It said, don't guess, don't, don't know, or I don't know. So it's like something like no, like you have to know, like don't guess, don't do this. Like you have to know. And so that's like why they have all that data and they collect it all so that they can know that they're fitting the best club for you, which is cool.
Yeah. It's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And not to mention they have a cool gym there too.
Yeah. Why do they have a gym at the fitting?
So they partnered with a gym that was like in the same warehouse facility. And they wanted to expand where that S3 machine is. They needed to expand so they could have room for that and more for like their mail room. And so they partnered with a gym. And so like the Cool Club staff has like a free membership there. And then they run golf specific workout classes throughout there. And so, yeah, we just like walked through this like awesome garage gym. And then we saw the cool S3 machine, which was like, dang. So they're not really, you know, they were talking about like how they're trying to kind of grow the game and help players, not only from just a club fitting standpoint, but from like a physical standpoint too, which I thought was really cool and pretty unique.
With the, do you know it with the fitting, how, you know, it seems like it takes so much data and like know so much, how much of that could be skewed by just the way you're swinging that day? Or if I'm like in the process of, I just feel like I'm always changing things with my swing, you know, with our ability here to go on video, to do all this stuff. Like, you're always, like, making tweaks, trying to, you know, maybe it's make my into the ball a little bit shallower rather than steeper. Like, if I get fit and then I actually make good progress with my swing, wouldn't I need to go get fit again?
Well, that's a great question. And certainly you want to make sure that your swings, I've always thought that you should always make sure that you're hitting the ball pretty well when you go to get fit. But at the same time, you're always going to have natural tendencies, or you're always going to do things in your swing that you just do naturally. And that's what really kind of produces, you know, like club head speed. Like, you can increase your club head speed, but you're not going to increase it a drastic amount to where you need to go get fit 2 months later or like 3 months later. You know what I mean? At the same time, I think a lot of people think that they need to change their swing a lot before they go fit because they're seeing such wide misses. And they're, you know, big, like the big miss or major inconsistency in their ball flight. And really, I think getting fit is what can fix that rather than getting another golf lesson. So it is a delicate balance of like, when's the right time and what equipment are you currently playing? And so like for myself, it makes sense to go get fit right now because my clubs are outdated and I'm hitting the ball really well. And it's just kind of timing. I know my swing's in a decent spot. I'm not going to make any major changes. But somebody that is maybe newer to the game, has really good clubs, but just doesn't make consistent contact with the ball or have a consistent ball flight, well, they need some lessons because they're not missing out by that. They just don't know how to swing. And so one of the girls on the trip, she had just got fit, and the guy was like, oh, hey, how'd you like him? And she goes, well, I'm still getting used to him, but like, I love him. And he goes, well, what do your misses look like? And she goes, well, they're not as far left or right. She goes, and she's been making some major changes in her swing recently, mm-hmm. but these clubs have already narrowed that dispersion, which is really cool.
Cool.
Did they give you any generalities as far as like most people need stiffer shafts than they would think, or
it's
the
all,
opposite?
They did talk about like actual characteristics of your swing and like what, like tempo, like how you transition the club. So like people that are short and fast need something heavier and stiffer because they don't have the time for the shaft to like get set and load.
Like, but Tony Finau or somebody.
Right,
like that.
Exactly. He's going to need like a 2x4 to swing. But somebody like Fred Couples is going to have something that's a little more flimsy.
Yeah, I think he used a regular shaft.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. And he hits the ball a mile, but he is something that's, you know, because he has such a long, loosey-goosey swing that the shaft has time to load. Mm-hmm. And so they did talk about a few characteristics of that. But, yeah, it just kind of depends on who you are, like what your tempo. They do take that into account.
Yeah, cool. But I think it is more on transition than swing speed.
Right. Which, yes, definitely. That was another thing they kind of mentioned was like, hey, swing speed doesn't really matter, but it's like more of your tempo in transition.
Yeah, which is because most people who... I mean, on golf websites I frequent, whose swing speeds like over 110 with a driver are like automatically an extra stiff.
Right.
And so that's what I had for a while, but then I switched to stiff. I just like it better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So what did any of our, like, the kids, the students, anything, did they like anything more than anything else, or?
I was almost kind of skeptical. I was like, oh, I wonder if they're going to enjoy, like, going on this tour and learning that. And I think everybody walked away from that tour with, like a greater knowledge of, like, wow, like, there's a lot that goes into this. Like, I had no idea the behind the scenes of what's going on here. And so it was really cool. And I think all the kids were just fired up to see some of these, like, really rare clubs they had on display there and be able to,
like what did they have?
They had, like, a bunch of, like, specialty putters and stuff. Like, they had, like, all the PXG putters that are, like, $800 just laying out that you could go roll putts with.
Well,
like,
that's fun.
Really cool.
Did you try any of them?
I did.
Yeah. How many? Which was, what was your favorite putter you tried?
I tried two PXG ones, and then I tried a Scotty Cameron that was, like, that I really liked. The PXG one that I tried was, one of them was called the Knife.
Yeah.
And it kind of looked like an old school, like, bullseye putter almost. It was really sweet.
But it's got, like, all the weights behind it.
Yeah, it's really cool. Sick. It was really heavy, but it was cool looking. And then the other one I tried was called the Darkness.
Okay.
And it was all black. It was pretty badass. And it was like a square. It looked like the spider putter, and then it had, like, these wings out on the back corners of it. So it looked like a waffle with wings on it.
Are you going to spend, like, I guess I don't know how many paychecks it would take on, like, a whole set of PXG clubs when you get fit? No. Okay. Is there anything...
I like PXG, but...
After seeing that stuff, did you swing any... Did you get any swings in?
No, I didn't hit any there.
Is there anything... Right, because maybe, you know, you'll get fit and we can do a post-fitting interview. But what are you, like, leaning towards right now?
Right now, I have my eye on some of the Callaway Apexes. I've also... But I really like the P790. The TaylorMade P790. Came out with the P760s.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
But I like the P790.
Yeah. Do you just like how it looks, or have you hit them?
Both.
Okay.
I like the way it looks and the way they hit.
Okay.
And I've hit a bunch of PXGs on one of my internships, and don't get me wrong, those things are sweet, but...
Like eight times as much
money. Yeah, they're catering to a different market.
Yeah. And Cobra Forge Tech, some people say they're better than the P790. It's not as hype, not as much hype. They don't spend as much on marketing.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
What are Tiger's new irons? Aren't those TaylorMade P7 somethings?
Yeah, he's. I don't know. They make them special ones for him.
Yeah, big muscle backs.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're cool. I wonder how much of you maybe can't even quantify it, but how much of it is just like I'm spend a bunch of money to get fit. I got some sick clubs. Like, I'm going to be a great golfer now, and you're going to play better. You know what I mean? Like, the placebo, like, effect, right?
Yeah, like a psychological side of it, too. Yeah, I mean, look good, play good, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, with how much, with, you know, all those machines, the Wiggler, the, what's the other one called? Wait, so we had a lot of machines, the S3.
Mm-hmm. The frequency machine.
Frequency machine. But then they, like, do they use TrackMan for their fittings?
Yeah, TrackMan 4s.
Yeah, like... That's a lot of data that you can be pretty confident that you're getting the right thing.
Yeah.
And so even if it's the wrong thing, you're still going to play better.
Exactly. I think so. I mean, I think you could go in there and never have swung a club before, and they're going to get you in a pretty good set.
That's cool.
Oh, so they'll give you some pointers on, like, your swing or something to hit it more consistently?
They won't teach you at all. The only, and they mentioned that the only time that they'll give you a little bit of instruction is in the putting fitting, so that they can make sure that your posture is good, so that they can get the length of the putter right and get your eyes a little bit more over the ball. So that's the only time that they'll do it. And they're very cautious with the way they do it, and they'll pull up, like, videos of pros and, like, compare angles and stuff to show you. But that's really the only time that they'll actually teach it.
All right. Are you going to recommend any of your students get fit?
Yeah, definitely. I had somebody that was talking to me recently about, hey, should I or should I not? And we were both kind of on the fence.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna say, hey, I think you should go give it a try. Not to say that, like, you need to go do it, but I think you need to go get fit, and then you can make the decision later. But just go through that experience, and I think you'll walk out of it with enlightenment.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You got any other questions about the tour, Ty?
Was it all indoors? I mean, are they doing fitting outdoors as well?
They have the options for both. So some of their facilities are just outside, and then some of them are just inside, and then some have both. So
are you hitting brand new golf balls?
Yeah. So indoor, they actually they pull out this like tool box, and it's just a giant drawer of every golf ball you can imagine. And so when you're indoor, you can hit any ball that you play with. Outside, they use the Titleist NXT because it's just a good standard golf ball to test with. Outside, if there's a lot of wind or rain or something, then they'll change like the date or reschedule it or offer inside. But some people like to be outside and see the ball flight while they're getting fit, which was probably what I'd lean to. But at the same time, I'm so used to hitting indoors from being in the cube that I would have no problem doing it indoors as well.
Cool.
So, all right. Yeah, but you have the option.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Before we go, we have to talk about the Euro collar. This is a fashion craze sweeping TGP Nation.
Yes.
Jansen, just give us the rundown.
Well, you're the one that brought it to the TGP attention. You know, you put it on the highlight reel, I guess. We found a picture of Ricky Fowler and the Masters rocking the Euro collar. Yeah. And
the Euro collar, in case you're not watching this, you know, which most people aren't watching this because this isn't, it is being recorded, but you know, whatever. You have to be wearing a pullover.
Yeah, like a quarter zip.
Over a golf shirt. And the way you do it is you zip it up a little bit, like what, about two thirds of the way, three quarters of the way.
Yeah.
And then you tuck the collar of the pullover under the
underneath itself, yeah.
Yeah, and it like creates another collar.
You zip it up, so it looks like you're wearing two golf collars.
It actually looks layers, like Nike came out with like a blade collar, and it looks like that. But I guess Ricky wanted one of those, but Puma didn't make it, so he just had to improvise and do it himself. And
I don't know what he was doing.
So might as well. I mean, it's good. Awesome. we've gotten some feedback, you know, positive and negative from our students.
I've gotten some very negative feedback.
Some like strong,
you know, I'm ignoring the haters.
We had a student that said like, I hate it and my mom hates it. So that's
yes, like, yes, I've been told that multiple times. So you know what? I'm going to keep
very controversial.
some strong choice words.
Yeah. But anyway, we're just putting that, you know, on the radar, getting that on the internet so we can get proper credit.
You know, I think you got to keep golf instruction fun. I wore Converse to teach in one Sunday, and I said, hey, what other golf instructors rocking Converse in your lesson? I mean, you got to keep it fun.
Exactly.
Got to keep it light.
Exactly. All right.
But professional.
Well, that was this week's session of TGP Fashion, maybe a regular you know, section of this podcast in the future.
Lululemon, shout out.
Maybe that'll be next time. Maybe we'll do Lululemon. Yeah. So something to look forward to. All right. All right. That's a good place to end, Jansen. Thank you. Ty.
You're very welcome.
It's been great, as always.
Thanks, Andy.
Clean contact.
I'd hit it again, because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along,